I can see clearly now. I like that song. How many of you had a hectic week this week? All right, a few. Some of you too tired to raise your hand. I think this week got away from me. I mean, I didn't have time for what I wanted to do. Didn't have time to really prepare a message for this morning, and here's the deal. I'm going to guess if you had a hectic week, you kind of understand. But I believe if you hang in with me today, I'll stumble onto something. And so here's to hoping that this is not a bust this morning, all right? All right. Now, I do hope you know I'm kidding you, because there is no way I would ever get up here without forethought, without preparation, because I realize that every time I step here, it is a God-given opportunity. It's an opportunity to mark lives. It's an opportunity to mark eternity and to make a difference. So I would never, ever step up here without seeking God, without preparation, and without a game plan. Now, here's the tragedy that I see. Too many people are willing to do life without a plan. You know, people are quite comfortable stumbling through life, hoping that tomorrow will be a better day. No plan, no strategy, just hoping that tomorrow it might be a bright, bright, what? Sunshiny day. See, I can see clearly now. I can see clearly. I mean, the fact is, as we start this new year, everybody here is hoping that 2019 will be great, that it'll be a bright, sunshiny day. That the fact is, those days don't just happen. They don't just happen. The fact is, they're about one of three types of people here today. Those who make things happen in their lives, those that watch things happen, and those that have no idea what's happening. And I've said this before, everybody ends up somewhere. But few people end up somewhere on purpose. You know, most people stumble through life without a plan, without preparation, without passion, without divine direction in their life. And the fact is, we can influence where we end up. We can affect positive change in our lives. Everyone ends up somewhere. You know, by 2020, most of us would love to have better relationships with our spouse, with our kids, grandkids, our friends. You know, most of us by 2020 would like the kind of relationships where everything's hitting on all cylinders in our life, where we're connecting well, where things are growing, where our relationships are God-honoring. I mean, how many of you would like to be someplace close to that with your relationships? The fact is, we all would. We'd all like to be somewhere near that. You know, financially, imagine by 2020 that you're well on your way to getting your financial house in order, that you're moving toward getting out of debt in your life, that you're heading toward a day where really the biggest financial issue you've got is what you're going to do with your additional resources. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, how many of you would that be a bright, sunshiny day in your life? You know, imagine by 2020 being in the best physical shape that you've been in years, where you feel great, where you look great, or as great as you can. I mean, imagine changing some things. Imagine improving some things in some area of your life. That's what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. We're going to try and dial in and figure that out. You know, everybody ends up somewhere. But friends, if you're going to make progress, you have to see clearly. You have to work at it. You know, if you're going to make positive change, you need to see things clearly, 2020 vision in your life. You know, if you're going to gain ground by 2020, I will tell you it doesn't just happen. You know, you don't wake up one day and all of a sudden all your relationships are great. You know, financially, things don't just fall into place and you're surprised, wow, I got out of debt. You know, you don't simply wake up one morning and you wonder how in the world you got in such great shape. You know, how many of you have ever prayed that you'd lose 20 pounds overnight? Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. Everybody ends up somewhere in life. But only those who see clearly, who have vision, end up somewhere on purpose in their life. It's just the way it is. You know, last week, Pastor David, he talked about the importance of making plans with God. And he also talked about the dangers of planning without God. And the fact is that God knows the future. God holds the future. And so if God holds the future and knows the future, then he can give us wisdom as we begin to make plans in our lives. By 2020, it's about seeking the heart of God. It's about seeing clearly and ending up somewhere on purpose in our lives. It's about putting together a life plan, although we're going to talk about a plan for this year. You know, Proverbs 20:18 says, where there's no vision, what? The people perish. People perish. Where there's no vision for a godly family, marriages end in divorce. Children grow up without parents. We let our children grow up alone. Want to be their friend. You know, where there's no vision for your finances, people live in debt, deep debt. You know, people live with high levels of anxiety. They fear financial ruin in their lives. We live in the wealthiest country in the world, yet we're the most debt-ridden society in history. I mean, where there's no vision for your health, people are overweight, people are sick, people live tired, stressed out. I was reading the other day, the U.S. is not number one, not number 10, not number 20. The U.S. is 35th in the world when it comes to healthiness. Think of it. That's staggering, isn't it? It should be alarming. I mean, where there's no vision, people wander through their life. You know, where there's no vision, families begin to operate on what I'll call survival mode. You know, where there's no vision, people start taking pills for high cholesterol and anxiety and weight loss and to gain energy in their life. People hope somehow they can pay the bills. You know, people jump from relationship to relationship where there's no vision. Where there's no vision, people perish. You know that word vision in the Hebrew, it's hazan, and it means to dream, to have a revelation, to have a vision, 2020 vision, where you can see clearly where you're going. I mean, where there's no vision, where there's no dream, where there's no revelation, people perish, they die. I want you to take a moment. And I want you to rate last week, okay? Just last week. 1 to 10, all right? 1, last week was terrible, horrible, no good, very bad week. All right? You could probably make a movie out of that. 10, it's perfect. Greatest thing this side of eternity. So somewhere in between there. As you think about last week, here's the important question. What are you going to base your rating on? You know, for instance, maybe someone said, hey, last week was a 3. Why was it a 3? You know, you might say, well, you know, my spouse and I, we fought a lot last week. Kids were horrible. You know, I didn't close the deal at work, and I didn't get the bonus. You know, the car broke down. You know, my hair wouldn't cooperate with me. You know, last week was just terrible. You know, and so you gave it a low rating. You gave it a 3. Again, if you gave it a 3, why did you give it a 3? If you rated it high, why? Well, things were great at home. You know, the kids were perfect. You know, they did everything they were asked to do when they were supposed to do it. I closed the deal. I got the bonus. I got a new car. My team's in the playoffs, you know. And so you rate your week 1 to 10. Now, here's the really important question. Why did you rate it the way you rated it? And now we're going to clarify it even more. This will help you see 2020. How do you define success for a week? What is success to you? What does God say success is to you and for your life? See, I think everybody here wants to have a great week. Why? Because we want to have a great life, right? But most of us are not sure what constitutes a great week. And we're even less sure how to create a good week. See, everybody ends up somewhere. But only those that see clearly end up somewhere on purpose in their life. You know, where there's vision, where there's vision from God, people move forward. Where there's no vision from God, people spin their wheels. People wander around aimlessly in life. I was reading about in 2004 in the Olympics, Matthew Emmons, he was competing in the 50-meter three-position rifle final. So he's shooting a gun. And he was one shot away from the gold medal. And all he had to do was hit the target anywhere. It didn't matter where he hit it, just had to hit the target. He's got the gold medal. And so he aims. He slowed his breath, slowed his heart, pulls the trigger, bang. Bullseye, dead center. Gold, right? Nope. The problem was he hit the wrong target. He hit the target in the lane right next to him. He went from gold to eighth place. Where there's no vision, people hit the wrong target. People hit the wrong target all the time. I believe one day we will stand before God and the creator of the universe will go, "What were you shooting at?" You know, I think some of you go, well, okay, so what's the big deal, you know? So I waste a day. Friends, that's not a big deal until you waste enough days to make a week. You go, well, that's still not a big deal. Yeah, you're right. Until you waste enough weeks to make a month or a year, waste enough years, and you will suddenly realize that you wasted your life investing in things that just don't last, don't matter. Then it's a tragic, tragic situation. See, I believe it's easy to waste your life. Where there's no vision, people perish. Where there's no vision, people die inside. And if you want vision, if you want this year to be that banner year, if you want to change some things in your life by 2020, I would really encourage you to make a serious commitment to being here throughout this series. This is too important. It's your life. It's your life. If you're going to end up somewhere on purpose, you have to see clearly 2020 vision, where it is that you're going. You got to have 2020 vision if you're going to hit the right targets. And you need a game plan, and you need God-honoring goals. Why? Well, God-honoring goals give you purpose. They give you vision. God-honoring goals, it will help you move forward and give you hope in your life in whatever area it is. You know, there's a study done of survivors of the Holocaust, and those that survived, and there were atrocities in those concentration camps, but they had one major common theme. They all had goals. They were simple goals, but they were goals. And as they talked to the survivors, it said, help them focus. It helped them look forward to the next day. It gave them purpose. It kept them going so that they didn't give up. Life is full of losses, isn't it? The fact is, some of you faced many losses this past year. Some of you lost loved ones. Some of you lost your job. Some of you lost financially. Life's full of losses. And friends, without a goal, you get stuck. It's really easy to get stuck in life. Godly goals help you keep going when you don't feel like going. You know, godly goals give you hope for a future because you can actually see a future. They provide strength to keep you moving forward in your life. You know, the story of Job is found in the Old Testament, and just in a nutshell, Job loses everything, and I mean everything, in his life. And Job says this, he says, what strength do I have left that I can go on hoping? What goal do I have that I would want to prolong my life? I mean, what goal? Friends, if you don't have goals in your life, I can tell you something about you. You drift in life without direction. You struggle, you survive. See, everybody ends up somewhere, but only those with clear vision, 2020 vision, end up somewhere on purpose. You know, goals don't have to be big to help you move forward. How many of you have had surgery before? Yeah, if you have any type of major surgery, you end up with a series of small goals, don't you? You know, they'll say, try and sit up. Well, that's pretty... Try and sit on the edge of the bed. Try and stand up. Try and take a few steps. Try and walk around the hall, and then at some point you start working out again and trying to do this and that. But the small goals are very, very important. A goal does not have to be big to change your behavior. If you don't like where you are, goals help you start moving to a new place. Goals are especially important in tough times, when you're struggling, in the crisis, in the fire. The fact is, when I get down, and I do sometimes, you know, when I find myself in the fire or struggling, there's one verse I always turn to. It's a life verse for me, but it's Jeremiah. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Friends, God has a plan for you. And maybe you're stuck right now. Maybe you're stuck in the past, and your past has a good hold on you. Maybe you're stuck in some present problems in your life. But I will tell you, it's much easier to move from where you are to where God wants you when you have goals. You know, without goals, what you will do is you will wander, and you will get stuck, and you won't be able to get out of whatever it is you're trying to get out of. You know, God-honoring goals, they give you focus in your life. They help focus your energies. They help focus your life. It helps move you forward. You know, if you want to live an effective life, you got to have goals. You know, in other words, you can't do anything, really. You can't make progress in life without them. You know, you can do things, but you got to be focused. You know, some of you want to do everything. Well, I can tell you, you do not have time to do everything. In fact, you'll waste a lot of energy trying to do everything. Because what happens is you end up with a lot of indecision if you don't have a goal in your life. You go, should we do that? Should I do that? What about that? Which one is it? When you set a goal, it helps you make decisions. Makes you where you can look at a situation or an opportunity and go, nope, that doesn't fit. That doesn't fit my goals. Doesn't fit what God's calling me to. I mean, can you make decisions easily? You know, most people struggle because they don't know the difference between pressure and priorities. They don't know the difference between what they think they have to do and what's really important. Don't know the difference between activity and achievement. And I will tell you, those are not the same thing. Just because you're busy doesn't mean you're really doing anything. Fact is, the challenge for all of us is going to be, are we going to make a decision to move from where we're at? In fact, I would challenge you this week to take a look. Everybody got to-do lists? You know, whether you do this or you got it here, you got to-do lists this week, right? Here's what I bet you. I bet you that the urgent things on that list, the things that you're going, oh, I got to get this done, got to get this done, got to get this done, I bet you they're not the most important things. It took me years to realize that the most important things are not the most urgent things. They're not the same thing. In fact, the most important stuff is rarely, if ever, urgent. Many times, the important stuff in life gets pushed to the back. It does not demand first place. You know, things like, I need to spend more time with my wife, with my kids, with my grandkids. There isn't a list for that. You know, I need to spend more time with God. Developing my relationship, you know, growing my spiritual life. See, they're in the list. In fact, these things get pushed to the side very easy by the urgent things that you got going on in your life. I mean, Paul, he says this, 1 Corinthians 9, he says, so I do not run without a goal. I fight like a boxer who's hitting something. Not just the air. You know, Paul says, I'm not flailing around using all my energies to no avail. You know, when I run, I'm not just running. He says, I'm running. I have a goal in mind. Friends, God wants to give you hope in your life, and he wants to focus your life. See, God honoring goals, they help strengthen your faith. You know, without faith, you're just hanging around. You know, running around aimlessly. And I will tell you, if you're running around aimlessly, you do not need faith. You don't need faith. God-honoring goals are actually statements of faith. And they make you step out. You know, I believe God wants me to do this or that. And he wants me to do it by such and such a time. And I'm trusting that God will help me accomplish it. Here's a challenge for you this year. Will you let God stretch your faith? You know, Matthew 9:29, Jesus says, according to your faith, let it be done to you. Maybe it's because I'm getting older. I read that verse a lot. And fact is, I realize every time I read it that I get to choose how God blesses me in my life. See, if you want God to bless you a small amount, trust God with a little in your life. If you want God to bless you a lot, well, then you trust God with a lot in your life. Now, I would say it's better yet, you ought to trust God with everything. But some of you would go, well, I don't really trust God at all. Well, according to your faith, it will be done to you. According to your faith. You know, Jesus said this. He says, I tell you the truth, if you had the faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll be moved. Nothing would be impossible. The challenge over the next few weeks is going to be to set some goals in your life. You know, not based on what you think you can do, because if you did that, it'd probably be really small goals. But let the size of your God determine the size of your goals. You know, when you base your goals on what you believe God can do in your life, well, it changes things. I mean, God takes notice, first of all. God begins to see your efforts, and you need efforts. God isn't going to do it for you. Not without you being involved. God sees your efforts. God sees your energy. God sees your sacrifice. And as God sees those things, God gets involved in it. Whatever it is. Quit stumbling around in your life with that thing you've been struggling with for years and years and years. Oh, I'm going to change this. I'm going to change that. Quit. Stop. Trust God. Get a game plan. You know, instead of 2020 vision, focus, we got to focus and allow God to move us. And friends, when you do that, instead of just hoping tomorrow will be better, it is a game changer in life. See, God honoring goals, they help build our character as well. You know, God's number one purpose in your life is to grow you spiritually. For you to become more and more like Jesus Christ. In other words, this life really is kind of a crash course in character development. When life's hard, you build character, right? Life will be easy in eternity. But I will tell you, life is hard. And it is challenging. But it's preparing us for eternity. Which means that who you are becoming is way more important than what you're doing. And I know as I say that, some of you go, well, then why set goals? Well, here's why. While you're working on your goals, while you're working to change your circumstance, whether it be in your family or in a relationship or your finances or your career or your health, whatever it is, while you're working on those things, God's working in you. God's changing you. God's developing your character. God's helping you become more like Jesus Christ. It does not happen overnight. It is a lifetime process. You have not arrived. This week, it's a simple kind of homework assignment. But I'd ask you to pray about what you need to change in your life. You know, what's God's purpose in your life? When you're thinking about goals for whatever area, are you trying to get God to serve your purpose? Or are you trying to sync up with God's purpose for your life? Because those are two different things, kind of a tug of war sometimes. You know, maybe you need to ask yourself questions this way. How does this goal, whatever it is, impact my life in light of eternity? And so as we start thinking about setting godly goals, and we're going to dissect this into various areas of our life, if we're going to succeed, we need God in the center. That's what David was driving at last week. In other words, you can't set just any old goal. Not every goal is godly. Not every goal is good. God promises to bless God-honoring goals. Now, Scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not depend on your own understanding, and do not depend on your own understanding, and do not depend on your own understanding, Damon. Remember the Lord in all you do, and He will give you success. If you put God first, if you put God center, God will give you 20/20 vision where you can see things clearly. God will strengthen you for the difficult choices that you have to make, the hard work that you have to do. God will remove the obstacles that get in your way to a bright, bright what? No, future. Future. Day's okay, though. See, remember the Lord in all you do, and He will give you success. See, by 2020, I want you to imagine that you're looking back, January 2020, you're looking back at 2019, and you suddenly realize, hey, my relationships are richer. My health's better this year. You know, my relationship with God, it's grown. You know, I finally have my financial house in order. You know, I'm beginning to live my God-given dream. And I know it may seem impossible, whatever that thing is that you need to change. It may require extreme sacrifice and endurance, okay? It may not be easy. Some of you, it may seem overwhelming to you today. But with God, it's possible to change. Put your faith to the test this year. Paul writes this, Ephesians 3, says, glory belongs to God, whose power is at work in us. By that power, He can do, read with me, infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. God says, you think of something this year. You think of something that I can do in your life this year. God says, I'll top it. And friends, I will tell you, and I've been doing this a long time, I have watched God do it time and time and time again, and I've experienced it in my life. See, it's about trusting God. It's about following God's lead. And any time I follow God's lead and pursue the life He's called me to, I always find myself saying, I can see clearly now. I can see it. And when I can see it, I can begin to live it. And I know that maybe sounds simplistic, but it's true. It's true. We'll have prayer teams down here this morning. Maybe you got something in your life. Let them pray with you. You know, Scripture says where two or more gather in His name. He's there. Just let Him pray for you. And I say this every week, but I always know we got people that are here for the first time. you can come up and go, I just need prayer. You don't have to tell them the whole story. They don't need to know the whole story. If you want to tell them the story, they'll listen to the story and they'll pray with you and they'll be confident about it. But just allow them to pray for you. This week, homework. Once you start thinking about what it is you need to change, and I know you go, well, I already did New Year's resolution. Well, most of you have already broke your New Year's resolutions. All right, let's just be honest. And maybe you go, well, I don't think I need to change anything. Come see me, I'll help you. I'll help you find some things. We all have stuff. We all have stuff, all right? We all have stuff. So let's stand a word of prayer and we'll continue worship. Our holy God, God, we praise you. God, we thank you for this new year. God, I pray that you just breathe into us a new future. God, that you would stir in us those things that most of us probably already know need to change, but God, your Holy Spirit would just press us. God, that this would be the year we lay this stuff before you. And we start pursuing whatever it is you'd have us pursue. God, give us vision. I know there are people here today that need hope. God, I pray that you'd just let them get a glimpse of the future you have for them. God, I pray that this week that we would look around us and see the opportunities that you put before us. And that we just surrender ourselves to you. God, we give you the glory. We give you the praise this day and every day. And God's people said, let's continue worship together.